Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Word Balloon, everybody, the comic book conversation show. John Suntress here. Last week, Word Balloon had its anniversary. We are just underway with our 14th year of the Word Balloon podcast. And in that time, I've been very fortunate to network and meet some incredible people online, face-to-face, that, when we first met, who knew where our careers would take us. Joe Henderson, our guest today, a classic example. Joe is the showrunner of the Fox show Lucifer. It wrapped up its last season on Fox tonight. You might be aware that Fox was doing some major slashing of a lot of primetime shows to make way for Major League Baseball's postseason, and also they acquired Thursday Night Football. And unfortunately, as a consequence, a lot of shows have left the network, both being canceled and in some cases also moving to other platforms. We've heard that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is moving to NBC. Gotham got a stay of execution and got a half-season order of 13 episodes, so they'll be able to wrap up their storyline. Lethal Weapon found a new co-star in Sean William Scott, so that show has been saved. Really interesting time, but, you know, a lot of shows have just been canceled to make way for this sports program that's incredibly expensive for Fox. But Joe and Lucifer, unfortunately, were victims of it. But, you know, Joe understands and is reasonably positive because the Save Lucifer campaign is underway and getting an incredible response, a larger social media response than Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is fantastic and very exciting. So even though things might have ramped up tonight with the series finale, we're recording this literally as the finale is airing on Fox. Joe was kind enough to provide me with a preview of tonight's episode, and we recorded this conversation just under an hour before the East Coast and Midwest got their look at the series finale. And but again, the things are up in the air in a very positive way. Joe teases of some story ideas that might make it to season four, the fates of some characters that may or may not be in a possible season four. But also, I want to point out that in this environment, to get three seasons on one of the four major networks of a show this unique and also a geek culture show, it's a huge accomplishment. And cast and crew that were assembled for Lucifer, up and down, just A-list quality people that made three seasons of incredibly entertaining television. I know if you're a Lucifer fan, you agree with me, obviously. And it's a great chance to talk to Joe right now while things are happening. And you'll get his point of view of the status quo of Lucifer on today's Word Balloon. I hope you enjoy it. It's all brought to you by the League of Word Balloon listeners. Thank you very much, League, for your support for this podcast through Patreon. You know, again, a lot of times you really help out, whether it's updating equipment or getting me to conventions to meet a lot of interesting geek culture people from the worlds of comics and television and film and animation. And I thank you for your support. So if you want to subscribe to Word Balloon, you don't have to. Word Balloon's free. It'll always be free. But if you appreciate what I try to do here each week and want to support the cause, you can go to patreon.com/wordballoon. Word Balloon is also brought to you by our sponsor, Comic Experience, the world's most respected online comic book university. They're now open for enrollment in all manner of comics illustration and storytelling courses. Introduction to figure drawing and anatomy start this week, followed by character design, digital painting, and the introduction to comic book art and storytelling. Don't miss these amazing courses. Andy Schmidt, the founder of Comics Experience, a former Marvel and IDW editor and author of the upcoming book, The Comics Experience Guide to Writing Comics, he leads a group of instructors that are all working professionally. Professionals in their field and are trained in their profession. The Comics Experience alumni have illustrated for all major publishers, and they pack their courses full of real, valuable, real-world information to indie creators and creators that are, you know, trying to aspire to working at one of the big two. You can look through the course offerings and enroll on the website at Comics Experience, that's comics with an S, experience.com. Click on the courses to get full details. Don't forget to also sign up for their newsletter when you stop by the website, and you can follow Comics Experience on Twitter at Comic Experience. Also, make sure that you go to their Facebook page and like that as well. The folks at Comics Experience, they have a litany of writing and art courses for you to explore at comicsexperience.com. All right, without further ado, let's get into our conversation with Joe Henderson. Very excited to be talking to him, and especially just blown away by the two-part Lucifer finale. This show is fantastic, and I will gush about it on the interview now, and you'll hear me do it, but really great to get a chance to talk with Joe at this interesting, crucial moment in Lucifer's television life. So without further ado, our talk with Joe Henderson on Word Balloon. Man, Joe Henderson, first of all, thanks for coming on, and welcome back to Word Balloon. And I'm both happy and sad for you right now, because I know Lucifer kind of hangs in the balance. I don't know what kind of, you know, I know the Save Lucifer campaign is on, but at the same time, I want to congratulate you for an incredible finale and really a great season. So nice going, man. And I saw your name on the second part. I don't know, were you the writer as well of the first part of the two-part finale?
My my co-showrunner, Ildi, wrote the first half, and I wrote the second half. So it was a fitting way to end the season, hopefully not the series. She wrote the incredible episode, I thought, where Charlotte Richards sacrificed herself, and I got to write the slam bang finale where everything changes.
Yeah, man. Taking Pierce down, and man, it's Cain versus Lucifer. What a great, I mean, you know, we're under the assumption, and I certainly already said this in the introduction, that people listening have seen the finale.
Yeah.
Let's
talk spoilers.
Yeah, damn straight, man. Oh my God. Great ending. And you know, that whole idea that starts in the first part but is in there as much in the second part, of self-determination and the revelation that, you know, Amandiel, it comes to D.B. Woodside, so great, and just kind of saying, you know, I think I get it. I think I know how all this works now, man. And a great conversation with Ian Lucifer in part one about that. That, again, that's kind of the subtext of the entire two-parter.
Yeah, and it's really a big part of the series itself, which is, so much of it is Lucifer blaming his dad and anyone other than himself for what's going on with him.
Yep.
So then you had this season where someone, it appears, is changing him and giving him wings and doing all of this. And we knew from the beginning that what we really wanted to do was make it Lucifer's fault, because it's always interesting when your hero is his own torturer. And so, yeah, that was what we've always been building to, was this reveal of Amenadiel losing his wings, Lucifer gaining his wings. All of it is self-determination, and you are what you make of yourself, especially if you're an angel.
And yeah, and even someone as black as Lucifer, he doesn't even see it, could possibly find, you know, that self-determination of whether you're going to be good or bad. And man, that just, again, and also just the reflection of himself in Cain. And every time somebody, whether it's Chloe or anyone else, is talking about Cain, they're really also talking about Lucifer. And, you know, at times he senses it, and you see that subtext between them. And certainly Cain, in that wonderful final struggle, you know, is you know, even before he says it, we all know that as much as Lucifer is damning Cain, and it's like, you don't get it, you're always going to be a monster. And Cain's just like, dude, listen to yourself. And that's just beautiful, man. That was a great scene.
Thank you. I think it's funny because Lucifer's arc has been so much about self-awareness, about, you know, meeting with Dr. Linda and getting to become self-aware. And in that moment, he's as self-aware as he ever is. And yet, as we see, he's still in complete denial over what he thinks of himself. And that was important to get to do our sort of two steps forward, one step back, let him become self-aware, but then become even more self-aware than ever to a certain extent, because somewhere deep down, he doesn't agree with what he's saying.
And Chloe, man, just, again, not, you know, just self-denial through all this and everything, and, you know, your metaphors and just, you know, damning Lucifer with, you know, you're never going to tell me the truth of what's really going on with you. And that wonderful moment where he's like, I'm the devil. And she's like, I just don't see you that way. And yet at the same time, again, feeling like she's not really getting the full story until that final moment.
Yeah, it was really important to us to have her realize the truth and discover it. But to already sort of be walking down that path before she found out. Like, so much of this episode was her reevaluating everything. If Pierce isn't the man she thought she was, what about Lucifer too?
Yep.
And so when she's walking in that room, it's not the greatest shock ever because she was sort of suspecting it, but it's still the greatest shock ever because the impossible stands in front of her. And so we really wanted to nuance that a bit because, you know, if we're lucky enough to come back, one of the big things is she's going to be telling herself, well, I mean, I already knew this. I figured this out. So it's okay. Right? Like, it makes it a harder journey for her.
Right.
Which is so much more interesting and exciting because right now we'll be opening up all of this new potential story with Chloe in a potential season 4. And that's just such a fun toy.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, this... You got this great undercut of just classic monster, the tie between horror and romance. And, yes. You know, Dracula, and it's, you know, every woman he truly wants, and both on, you know, and sometimes in the right hands, an interpretation of that, you know, Dracula, you know, kind of template, you know, with the woman, is that, no, there really is some undying love in that subtext of this evilness that he represents. And obviously, yes. Lucifer and Chloe, you've got this same thing. And it's, man, they just really, they knocked it out of the park. Seriously, Lauren and Tom, really. I mean, dude, you are so fortunate with this show. And I know that's one of the reasons why I'm sure you're heartbroken. Because this is such an A-list cast. Truly. Everybody. Yeah. And in this finale, everybody has these amazing, huge moments. But first, yeah, tell me about the, like I just said, the monster romance kind of connection here in that subtext.
Well, yeah, it's Beauty and the Beast. And Lucifer sees himself as the Beast.
Sure.
And that's actually something that Tom Ellis has spoken about quite a bit, that has always sort of been an element that we loved. It's you know, I think it's a very relatable concept that will she ever love me if she knows what I truly am? Like that... There's just something to that that's universal.
Sure. Absolutely. Go on.
And then in particular, this season, we started the season with Lucifer finally deciding I'm going to tell Chloe the truth. And it was a moment of empowerment. And then he couldn't. And that frustrated him. And then so the bookend of the season is starting with I want to tell her the truth, but I can't. And ending with I don't think I'm the devil anymore. And then her seeing him as that. So really wanting to basically take his empowerment away, like to sort of undermine our hero in the way that, you know, makes for the most interesting television, which is this is the worst possible way Chloe could have found out, which is why this is the way Chloe finds out.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing is, like, you know, blood spilling from his mouth as he's saying, "Let's see, it's me, honey. How are you?"
That's how we'll start the season.
There you go. Well, my pleasure, man.
Yeah.
And man,
but no, it's and speaking to you, the other thing you said, what was so fun about the finale to me is like I felt like I was writing a play half the time. Like a lot of the scenes are just two characters talking, yep. Or three characters talking. Like you've got Dan having a great interrogation scene with the man that Pierce sent to kill him.
Yes.
You've got a scene of just Ella and Lucifer on the balcony, yes. Which like personally, I love writing scenes that are about faith, and I love writing scenes where Ella and Lucifer talk about faith. But what an opportunity to crack Ella's faith and start to sort of put a little fissure in that.
No question, man. No, and I mean, again, everybody has a great golden scene, and you know, we talked about it last time about Ella and what a great addition she is to the cast. And yeah, that balcony scene, man, is a really again great moment of both of them. Self-reflecting, not, you know, and again, having these huge moments for themselves and part of Lucifer's own realization of, yeah, you know, something actually, God isn't really kind of moving everything, you know,
yes,
and it's,
yeah.
Again, that aha moment for himself as Ella is rejecting her. I mean, that's a great thing. Again, both at the same time, a lot of these scenes, it's shared subtext between these characters, whether they realize it or not, or two characters going in absolutely opposite directions. Everything that Ella believes,
yes.
Now she's questioning, and Lucifer coming to the realization of, oh no, wait, maybe my brother's right. Maybe we really are kind of in control. Maybe, and I don't even know, you know, if as you're writing it, he's thinking about what Amandiel had said, but you know, it's again that Lucifer's so selfish, he's just coming upon it himself, or both.
No, and I think he's he is shocked to find himself in normally Ella's position.
Yes.
Like, that is probably a kind of terrifying concept for him, to actually be arguing in defense of his father. And that was fun. Like, and honestly, what's so nice about our cast is, like, you can just throw anything at them and watch them play. And I was, like, literally, when I started writing this episode, it's the easiest episode I've ever written, because there's so much there, and there's so much to play with. Like, we haven't even talked about Linda Mays, which was so satisfying.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to Mays. Absolutely, man. No, that's, please, you know, no. I again, honestly, I can, you know, we could probably spend 3 minutes on every cast member.
With Linda and Mays, like, Mays's whole arc this season was, season two was all about discovering sort of a family here on Earth. And then season three was all about realizing family's hard. Love is hard. Emotions are hard. Love is torture to a certain extent, because it makes you vulnerable.
Agreed.
And
yes, go on.
Yeah, no, go.
Well, and I was just going to say no. And I mean, the great thing is, Leslie Ann has these amazing scenes, great fight scenes, wonderful fight scenes with Pierce and Pierce's crew. And then this amazing emotional scene with Dr. Linda. And every time I talk to you, I always say how much I love Rachel Harris. And man, seriously, man, that's great. She comes in for her like 10 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever the actual screen time is, nails it every time. And you guys, again, you've been, as you say, this has been building to this. It's 3 seasons of moving these chess pieces around and giving them rich, you know, backstories that all of us who have been following are understanding, and it's all paying off. And that's the thing, man. I do want this story to continue. That said, you end on a pretty cool note. And I think that's kind of, honestly, and again, I want a resolution, but also I got to tell you, man, more satisfying than say the Angel last episode. And that's one of my favorite finales that wasn't necessarily intended to be a finale, but I would say even this has that great classic, even 70s horror moment of that reveal. And it really, this could be where the 70s movie ends and we get the credits. But again, you know, I mean, it's going to be very interesting. I wish the best for you, but you're sitting on a nice hand if this is the end also.
Well, it's funny because we designed our finale to be undeniable, to be like, there is no way you could possibly cancel our show with this ending. And I guess they called our bluff pretty well. It's satisfying in as much as that it wraps up so much. Like, you get your answers to so many questions. You get your answers to the very nature of angels and their self-determination.
Yes.
And that so much of the goal is to give people a satisfying ending, but then a tease of what's to come. And, you know, there's no bigger tease than completely upending the relationship between Lucifer and Chloe. And finally exploring what happens when she's in the know.
Agreed. Well, you know, and before we get to, you know, how great Lauren was and everything, I just want to say one last thing about Tom, because I know, you know, your lead's your quarterback and everything. I love the fact that even before you give him the crazy CGI eyes, or however you guys manage that effect of his flaming eyes, when Tom is even just being, you know, human Lucifer, he gets those wonderful moments that he can go from charming to crazy on a dime.
Yes.
And I love that, man. And there's so many great shots of him acting in this finale where he is in full crazy and you don't need the flaming eyes, man. And it's great. And it's just bubbling under the surface, whether he just wants to lunge at Kane or, you know, is just, again, kind of expressing his self-awareness and everything. It's fantastic.
People underestimate how hard it is what Tom Ellis does. Like he can turn on a dime and make it feel so effortless. And because it feels effortless, no one really understands just how much work he puts into that and just how hard it is. And it's just it's amazing. I mean, if you look at the scene at the top of Act 4 between Cain and Lucifer, where it's just mano a mano, and it's basically Lucifer just speechifying. It's like it's a 4-page scene, and it doesn't feel like it because Tom is just on fire. Like, I mean, it was Like, I was, when I was on set, it was like watching a play. Everyone was just silent, watching him just stalk the set and just own it. Oh, it was, it's like a masterclass.
All right, now before we get to Lauren, then we got to mention Tom, because Welling, the other Tom.
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you, great counterbalance, wonderful season, a great big bad in the Buffy vernacular, but I mean, just, you know, really, I mean, and also, by the way, just as an off, completely 180 thought, man, I love how he looks at his age right now, and I would love to see him play a Kingdom Come Superman right now.
Because, oh, man, because wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, he's filled out in a very adult way, and I really think he could pull off middle-aged Superman. And, you know, and do it really well. It was funny, you know, he was too old playing, a kid in the couple of final years of Smallville and stuff. And now he's, you know, looking his age in the best way. And yeah, so, yeah. But anyway, let's get back to him being Pearson Cain. Again, yeah, just a great counterweight. And his own disappointment that he loses Chloe and you know, you feel that. And, I mean, really, this is obviously a reflection of Lucifer that, you know, whether he realizes it or not. I mean, certainly in the finale and the final moments he does. But yeah, it's just this you know, mirror image of Lucifer, and a lot of times Lucifer just doesn't see it.
Yeah, and it's all fear. It's all exploring the concept of fear. And Cain was fearless for so long, mm-hmm. because all he wanted was something he could never have. And we really wanted to, like, I feel like on a normal arc, you would have Cain lose his immortality at the very end, and we wanted to move that up and explore what happens when the dog catches the car and play with that idea of, hey, you got immortality, guess what, these things come along with it, like, you've been immortal forever. Like, you were like riding a motorcycle, you ride a motorcycle because if you get thrown off of it, you'll live. Guess what, you won't now. And just playing with that incredible confidence he had. But where did that confidence really come from? Was he a confident man, or is he confident because he just knows he can't die? And what happens when you take that away? That was a thing we thought was just really fun, because, let's be honest, like, Cain murdered his brother. He killed to survive once before. It's understandable that when he faces death again, that's what he reverts to.
Very cool, man. And then, you know, as we said, Lauren, just wonderful, wonderful season. The cliffhanger, as you say, it opens a lot of possibilities. And, you know, I mean, God, you know, what does this mean for, you know, her daughter and her whole family dynamic now? And also, again, these feelings, what does it make her? If however this, you know, continues again, so your intent with the season four would be no fake out. No, oh, I was dizzy after the experience of almost dying and everything. That, no, it was in your face. She knows it's the devil she's dealing with.
We tried to make it as undoable as possible. Like, we end in a wide shot for a very specific reason, so that you see the two people exist in the same space. She sees him. She knows the truth. We wanted to give ourselves as few ways to get out of it as possible, just in case anyone was like, hey, you know, maybe we should put this genie back in the bottle. Like, we wanted to protect ourselves and make sure there was no way. And by the way, no one ever brought that up. But, like, there was, as far as we were concerned, there was no going back. And it was really exciting because new story starts generating. Like, hey, how does Chloe react to this? She's been working with the literal devil. She loves the literal devil. What does that mean? Her roommate is a demon. What the hell does that mean? And what is, to a certain extent, the responsibility of this knowledge, which I think is a really interesting thing for someone like Chloe, who's a detective, to have to grapple with. And so there was just such a meal. And once we started talking about season four, the story just started pouring out.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, hypothetically, would you, you know, you, so you've got ideas all ready to go for a season four, should your fortunes change?
So we, what happened was we went in and pitched Fox about, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Season four, what the dynamics are, who our villain or villains are. We pitched in the whole shebang, and honestly, I've never had a better pitch. Like, it was fantastic. They loved the high concept. They loved, we are going to bring in a new character that just turned everything upside down in a really, really cool way. And I remember when we pitched it to Peter Roth, as we were prepping for Fox, we pitched him our idea and we're going. He's like, hold on. And we're like, oh God. And then there's like silence. He's like, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And then he just started like riffing on it. It was amazing. Like he's never done that in a pitch for us. So like we've got all of this stuff ready, and listen, Fox was excited. Fox loved it. But fact of the matter is there are bigger business decisions that are above our heads that may have been above the heads of the executives we were pitching. I'm very grateful to Fox for the three seasons we had. And grateful that they loved what we had, even if we're not going to be able to show it on their network.
Well, you know, much like your, you know, recent jump into comics with your Image book Skyward, unfortunately, man, you're picking two platforms where the competition has never been this fierce. I kind of really believe that, both in the comics and in television right now. And truly, to get three seasons on one of the four major networks is a real accomplishment because, and no disrespect to Fox, but they change shows like people change underwear. And that's okay, because by the same token, they really come with, all right, you didn't like these 10 shows? Fine, here's 10 more of completely different stripes. What do you think? And like you said, for people who didn't realize, and I'm sure if they're Lucifer fans, they know the economics behind these decisions, and it wasn't just your show. Gotham was also on the bubble, all because of Fox getting the NFL, Thursday Night Football, in addition to their regular Sunday package, plus postseason baseball, which is always like, all right, our fall schedule is going to start in mid-November. So all those factors kind of, you know, plus also not having 10 o'clock Eastern shows and only having 2 hours of prime time each weeknight. So all those things kind of combine to, unfortunately, a lot of shows that have a core strong following, you know, suddenly it's like, oh, God. I mean, you know, like I said, the Gotham fans were sweating it out. Now, they luckily got a 13-episode reprise. That's pretty impressive in itself. And I question, with the exceptions of the Law and Orders and some of these other stalwarts that started well before streaming and the other platform challenges that television now has, I don't know how many shows are going to make it beyond, you know, a couple seasons. Plus the fact that Fox didn't technically own the show, right? They're licensing it through Warner Brothers, correct?
Yeah, and that definitely put us at a disadvantage as well. And I agree with you. Like, I think we're a product of a different age.
Yeah.
22-episode shows are a dying breed. And, I mean, it was both fun and challenging to work on one. It's an exhausting process. Now, I'm lucky enough to have worked with a co-showrunner and a writing staff that made it easier than it does on a lot of shows. And I think part of that helped us not have those episodes that sag or that don't really matter. We tried to make every single one count. But like you said, like the world is changing and the format is changing. So it's, you know, it's a moving target and we just try to adapt.
Is in a perfect world, did you envision Lucifer having a 7-season you know, story arc, a 5-season story arc, or, you know, I mean, how did you see things prior to your current status quo?
Yeah, my thinking was, to me, this was like a midpoint.
Okay.
Like six, I figured on network TV, if you get to 6 seasons, it's a miracle.
Sure.
Like, so my thinking was, the minute Chloe found out the truth, that's like the end of an act, or I guess in this case, a halfway point, which is, all right, we've told the story of Chloe not knowing, now let's tell the story of her knowing. So the hope, I mean, towards the last couple of weeks, the hope was to get at least one more season to wrap everything up.
Yeah.
But back before we were quite as much on the bubble, the hope was to go 6. And by the way, and be ready to do more if demand called for it. But yeah, that, I mean, I worked on a lot of shows where towards the end of the season, when I get to the end of the season, I'm exhausted. I'm out of ideas. And then a month later I get back up and there's plenty more there.
That's cool.
Every season on this show, when I'm done, I'm already ready for the next season. Like, I've already got 10 new ideas, 10 new things to do, because there's so much you can do with this show, because the tone is so elastic
Yep.
that You can do comedy. You can do horror. You can just do melodrama. You can do a little bit of everything and keep it fresh by shifting around.
We're going to take a quick break and talk about our other great sponsor for Word Balloon today, InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. And help, let's take a look at some great Lucifer product that is available at InStockTrades.com. You can get the original Vertigo run of Lucifer, starting with Volume 1 from Mike Carey and Scott Hampton and other artists. It's taking you right to the very beginning of the Lucifer experience. That is 42% off for Volume 1, $17.39. There are other wonderful trades like Volume 11, Evensong, from Mike Carey, Peter Gross, Sander Cannon, Dean Ormstrom, and John J. Muth, Ryan Kelly, among the artists that did this wonderful collection from Lucifer from issue 70 to 75. Another excellent arc. 50% off, $7.49. You can get Volume 2. Again, that's Mike Carey and Peter Gross. And this collects issues 14 through 28 of Lucifer. 42% off, $17.39. You can get Father Lucifer, which is from the new run of Lucifer, featuring Holly Black and Lee Garbett. That is 42% off, just $9.85. Both are great. And also, by all means, get their first volume, Cold Heaven, from Holly Black and Lee Garbett. That is the first few issues of Lucifer, the first story arc. 42% off there, $8.69. And there's been more. Richard Cady's run as well, Volume 3, Blood in the Streets. So you can get both runs of Lucifer, the original Vertigo run with Mike Carey and Peter Gross, or the wonderful work that they've been doing with Lucifer when they brought it back. A fascinating character both on screen and on paper. Discover it for yourself at InStockTrades.com. Don't forget, if your orders are $50 or more, you'll receive free shipping. They're good friends of Word Balloon. They've supported the show over the years. Great book place with great prices. You'll find the best deals and the best books at InStockTrades.com. All right, without further ado, let's get back to our conversation with Joe Henderson talking Lucifer on today's Word Balloon. That training you got at USA and that, you know, I don't know who you would attribute the understanding how to break story, but it just seems to me that that era of White Collar and certainly your first season of Graceland and a lot of these pre Mr. Roboto shows that and post-Monk, that period of everything, Royal Pains and a lot of these shows, was just at the same time light, fun entertainment, but also an under, and Suits is certainly a good example that's still there at USA.
Yes.
But light entertainment, but also with definitely with teeth, and it will shock you in provocative ways. And like you said, Lucifer in particular shows that training, and you went even further because you added fantasy, and on top of police procedural, romance, as we said, horror. I mean, it really is playing on a lot of different levels, and the tell me first your who do you think led you to understand and break story that way, and also the staff that you've cultivated for this show, like how many of those people came in already with those rhythms, and how many did you have to train? And I'm not asking for you to name names, but just you know, do you feel you're teaching people to break story this same way? So first, inspiration, who'd you learn it from, and who are you teaching? And how are you?
First of all, the worst writer on our staff is definitely... Wait, no. I'm just kidding. yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I really did learn quite a bit of it from White Collar. But honestly, before then, I was in a bunch of writing groups.
Okay.
And, like, you'd have to break spec episodes and
sure.
procedurals. And the big thing that we would do is you always break from character, or at least that's what I would do, which is what are the arcs the characters need to go through, and then what is a case which will reflect those arcs. And that's something that we found on White Collar, but it took us a couple episodes to find as we were sort of exploring what the show was. And it's something that sort of ended up baked into my DNA, because I don't care about a case of the week. I cannot write a show that is just about a case of the week, I should say. I care about a case of the week if my characters care about it and if those characters are invested. So when we break story, the first thing we ask ourselves is, what is the journey of the character? What are the things they're going to learn? And sometimes you get that up and then you start talking about the case, and then that journey changes as you explore the case. Or sometimes you're just like, I just, here's a really cool sequence. Like, we, one of the episodes that I brought into the room is like my, I have a crazy pitch, which I like to do every now and then. There's like, every season I have a couple episodes where I'm like, here's just an idea. I don't know where it fits, but here's the idea. And I was like, I really wanted to do an episode where Lucifer thinks he can't control his wings, or can't control his wings. And so he decides not to fall asleep, because when he's asleep, his wings seem to be saving people. And like, and I came in and I'm like, and it's called The Angel of San Bernardino. By the way, I didn't even know where San Bernardino was. I just thought that was a really cool name.
It does sound good. Go on.
So it like, yeah, so it like, it stayed on the board all of season three, and it was always that floating thing. And I started to feel like, maybe I'm forcing this on them. Like, I don't want to break an episode just because I think it's cool and no one wants to tell me it sucks. But then finally we got to episode 16 and everyone started rallying around it. And then, and it became very different. Like, in the end, he's not actually doing it, which was not part of the pitch originally, but it was, it still came from a very simple character idea, which was, Lucifer can't control his own body. Mm-hmm. And a second idea of his body is doing good, which I think is so much of his character, which is, he's an angel, but he cut off his wings and now his wings are back. So what is that metaphor? What does that say? Yep. And when the devil is told he is good, you know he's going to zig the other way. So that was my passion one. The one season two was God Johnson, which also changed quite a bit. But I loved the idea of a murderer in a psych ward and a guy was named God Johnson.
Now, the show's been running on Hulu, correct?
Yes, our second, like, after it airs on Hulu the next day, I think.
Okay, and so do you know, moving forward, how long this season and the previous seasons are going to be available on Hulu?
That's a great question. I genuinely don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what the plan is for a lot of this. It's weird. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I was I was unprepared for this to happen.
Sure.
So there's a lot of stuff that I'm still figuring out, and there's a lot of questions I should be asking, but honestly, I've been so caught up in the Save Lucifer campaign that I really haven't had much time to do much more than that.
Okay. Well, before we get to the Save Lucifer campaign, when did you find out? Did you just find out last week?
We found out, I think the day before it got out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
And so we knew, and then we were sort of quietly telling people while we were waiting for word to get out. So by the time word got out, we had known for maybe like 12 hours, maybe less. And so, yeah, we were sort of absorbing it and trying to prepare people for the news to come. So it was like, it was just this gut punch and then this incredible uplift of, people responding. Like, the Save Lucifer campaign was not us. Like, I think I started tweeting about it 30 minutes after it came out, but that's just because I literally, like, my notifications were just piling up with it. And
Good. Honestly,
in my greatest fantasies, I didn't expect it. Like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine got this amazing response, and I was like, oh, okay, that's the show that's going to get the big fan response that might have a shot. And then we surpassed Brooklyn Nine-Nine in fan response before they even got their pickup.
Wow. Wow.
And by the way, I'm so happy for Brooklyn Nine-Nine because it's an awesome show and it deserves another shot.
Absolutely, man. No. And you know, even I got to be honest, I'm not a big Gotham guy, but I'm like, all right, they're getting to finish their story. Great.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So happy for them.
Yeah. And dude, you guys absolutely, you all deserve the same consideration. And so, first of all, you should let people know the proper way to respond. And obviously, don't swear, kids. Don't yell at people. You know, say it in a nice way and say, hey, we love this show. But, you know, you give them the proper, way to respond on social media or other avenues to help save Lucifer.
Yeah, I mean, so the two hashtags that we've been using are #SaveLucifer and #PickUpLucifer. And by the way, I think we have 3 million tweets about Save Lucifer and a million plus on the other one. Like, it's been
excellent.
We had a million tweets in 24 hours, which, like, was just staggering. And also, I'd like to commend the fans because almost all of them have been positive, not attacking Fox, but instead talking about how much they love the show. And I think that just speaks to who our fans are, which is they weren't dwelling on the negative. They were just focusing on the fact that they wanted the show and what to do. And that was incredibly heartening because none of us attacked Fox. We get it. Like, business is a business.
Yeah.
It's sad. But that is their right and that is their druthers. I've seen very little that's against them and much more just, what can we do?
Sure.
And that's awesome.
Well, and again, I mean, hey, the NFL is not cheap. And I know this coming from sports broadcasting. So for, you know, those of us in the nerd culture that aren't as hip to, you know, how much sports cost, it's like ESPN is bleeding money because of all of their major league contracts and stuff. They are losing money constantly. And Fox, from day one, picking up the NFL, it's like, all right, this is going to be a loss leader, but this will elevate our network and stuff. So, again, from a business standpoint, we get it. But unfortunately, that means really cool shows suddenly get the axe. And certainly, this is what we're dealing with. So it's Pick Up Lucifer.
Exactly.
Hashtag Pick Up Lucifer. Hashtag Save Lucifer. I think the religious right must absolutely, their skin must be crawling with the notion of a hashtag that says Save Lucifer, which also cracks me up.
I'm kind of bummed that I haven't seen more, like, religious people being like, what is happening?
That's so good, though, because honestly, man, I know that was an initial concern in our earliest conversations about the show. And so that's great, man. I always use the analogy of, it's like with South Park, that so many people were against South Park, but it was like a bad snowball fight, where at this point, the other person is just bent over, and the other side is just pelting them with snowballs. Like, all right, we give. All right. We have nothing else to add, and these guys keep coming back and still are there.
Here's my favorite thing about the show is some of the countries we do best in.
Yes, tell me.
Are huge Catholic countries.
That's crazy.
And it's two reasons. One, they recognize the name Lucifer, and two, we're kind of a faith-affirming show. Okay. Like, we are a show about the redemption of the devil. And realizing that you yourself can be redeemed. Like, I think we're as New Testament as you can get when it comes to themes and the exploration of what faith means. And I love whenever religious people find us and actually realize that we're a show that could be for them. It's been really cool. Like, I see priests post about it. I see religious people. Like, a lot of people in the Midwest dig it because they're like, they can watch it with their family, like if their family's a little older, and they enjoy the hell out of it because ultimately it's a show about redemption.
Is, you know, Tom is a superstar waiting to happen. Obviously,
yes.
I mean, people are going to look back at this show, and maybe this is hyperbole, but I'm standing by this. The way that they looked at Johnny Depp after 21 Jump Street, it's like, oh no, this something. This guy's got something going on. And truly, again, I think everyone in the cast performed excellently. But, you know, it's about Tom. Tom, as I say, I learned the analogy that the star is like the quarterback on a football team. And he's such a performer. If you get a season four, is he in, obviously?
Tom is one of the driving forces behind it. He's insistent. If there is any opportunity to save the show, he will be the first in line.
Wonderful.
Here's a perfect anecdote that sort of tells you who Tom is. So we're shooting episode 16, which is a pretty Lucifer-heavy episode. And by the way, when you're on episode 16 and you're the number one on the call sheet, you're exhausted.
Sure.
You're broken. You're looking for a break. And he really wanted to shoot this driving sequence towards the end of the episode where he's racing to go get to Chloe. And we're like, Tom, here's the problem, is the only time we can shoot this is Friday at like 1 a.m. And he's like, great. I'm like, no, Tom, you don't understand. It's at 1 a.m. It'll probably go till 4. That's the only time we can shoot this. He's like, mate, this is my Tom Ellis impression. Mate, it'll make the episode better. So
that's beautiful.
And Tom Ellis impersonation. But, like, that's episode 16. It's like the episode will be great no matter what, but he wants it to be better. And that's who he is. Like, he will do whatever it takes to bring the show back. He loves the show. He loves the role. It's you look at the fun he has in it, as much as he puts an incredible amount of hard work in it, the dude's having the time of his life. And you can tell, it shows on the screen.
Well, we understand where Tom and Lauren are in Chloe and Lucifer's relationship. What about, and again, I don't want to spoil, but obviously everyone's wondering what's going to happen to Amendi. Is that the last we've seen of him? Is this the last we've seen of Charlotte? I mean, they're ascending, but, you know, this is, you know, fantasy, and certainly ascended angels can certainly come back to Earth if they need to.
A very good question. So, no matter what, it is the end of Charlotte's story. Like, this was
okay.
Us telling a beginning, a middle, and an end for Charlotte. And by the way, God, Trisha Helfer, was she? And we literally reinvented the character just because we loved working with her. Like, that's how much we wanted to keep her was. We had a one-season deal, and we were like, can you keep playing with us? And so we brought the character back, but we realized to keep her, to give her the material she needed, because what the material she deserved, I should say, we had to burn her story a little brighter than we expected. And we just realized that her arc was, can I stay out of hell? Which led to, she needs to get to heaven. And once we realized that, we talked to Trisha, and she was excited about it. Cause she's like, listen, this is a great arc. This is something I want to play. I'll be sad, because I love working on this, but I'd rather you give me the juiciest story possible. I say all of this with one thing in mind, which is we have her in one more episode, because we have two episodes we still haven't aired.
Ooh.
That are the standalones that were supposed to air season 4.
Wow, interesting. Okay, so that also is interesting. Now, are we okay for like another couple minutes? Because I know you're going to be we're recording this before you're going to be live tweeting the final episode, and you gave me access early, and I appreciate that, by the way.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I got 5 more minutes, and I'll jump into the live tweet.
No problem, buddy. And, I appreciate that. No, Trisha was great, and this is the hallmark of these kinds of shows. You bring in a guest star for a season. Are they able to really nail it and, give an elevated performance? And, man, good for Trisha Helfer, man. I mean, we all loved her on Battlestar Galactica. She pops up on a million shows in between Lucifer and Galactica and stuff. But here's another great meaty role. And as you say, man, for 2 seasons, she just lights it up. And goes out with a bang. And, I mean, her scenes with DB in the finale are just gut-wrenching.
Oh,
and like you said, a very complete arc. And a credit to her for being that strong of an actor to be able to pull it off. Way to go, Trisha.
She's amazing. And it really was, like, selfishly, we wanted to figure out a way to keep her because she's just such a talent. Like, I knew that Trisha could do a lot of things. I didn't know how funny she was. Like,
sure.
To discover that in season 2 as Mom,
yep.
And then to play with it in season 3 with Charlotte was a discovery for me because she is the female Tom Ellis. Like,
great.
You can throw anything at her and she'll hit it out of the park.
I think you're right, man. That's great.
Or, I should say, Tom Ellis is the male Trisha Helfer.
Well, no, but honestly, that is a great thing about Lucifer. So many strong women in that show, up and down, from an action standpoint, from a dramatic standpoint, from a comedy standpoint, and there's a real balance of the men and the women on this show. And truly, the finale, I think, showcased that in the best possible way. Everybody. I mean, God, Kevin Alejandro, Dan has great moments.
Man.
And really, from
so
Goofy
good.
With the waffle crap, and then going through the shock of losing Charlotte, and man, his just kind of, as Ella points out, he's on a tightrope. And I mean, he's part crazy and part so determined. And the best elements and the worst elements of him are kind of fighting each other in the finale.
Well, and that's one of the things that we were really excited about for season 4 is we've had a lot of fun with Dan. But the fact of the matter is, Kevin can do some really meaty stuff. And one of the things that we hope to play with in season 4 is dig into that a little bit more, especially with him reeling from Charlotte's death and blaming Lucifer for it. Like, that's a big dangling story that we really wanted to embrace and basically break Dan a little bit, because Kevin can go there in just such an amazing way.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'll wrap up now and just say, truly, congratulations on 3 exceptional seasons. Whatever happens, if you get a season 4 or whatever your next assignment is, Joe, I'm so happy for you because, again, You've got a great staff behind you, but clearly, again, as the co-driver of this thing, I think this is a real testament to your writing ability, producing ability, and I have full confidence that, you know, wherever you're gonna land in a good place, because this show is going to be a good thing for your resume. And I'm sure you're talking both about saving Lucifer and finding out what the next gig might be. But whatever's going on, I know you're gonna land on your feet.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Honestly, it's mostly selfish at this point. I got a really good gig working with great people. I'd love to keep it going. If not, it'll be on to the next. But man, oh, we were just having so much fun. So hopefully we get to keep doing it a little bit longer.
All right. Well, then we'll find out what the next chapter is in the Joe Henderson story, whether it is more Lucifer or the next TV adventure. Dude, as always, and also very quickly, thank you for helping me get Tim Matheson. It was a great conversation, and I really loved the opportunity of speaking to him. And no, seriously, man, I always appreciate your perspective on this age of television and sharing with my listeners your experiences, because I do. I find it fascinating. I know they do as well. It's educational for the aspiring writers. And truly, thanks for letting me to be ringside for what's going on with Joe Henderson.
Anytime, man. The next time you want to talk, you let me know. I always love talking to you.
Joe Henderson, I appreciate conversations with Joe all the time. As I said, I really mean it. And while the ball's in your hands, folks, pick up Lucifer, that hashtag, and save Lucifer, the two hashtags that are out there. As Joe told me as we finished recording and I stopped, we spoke a little bit as he was getting ready to live tweet the final episode of Lucifer tonight on Fox. The good news is there is interest in other platforms picking up Lucifer. People are talking. So that's the good news. So let's try and keep the campaign going. Use your social media responsibly. Again, don't attack Fox. Just let everybody know how much you love this show and want to see it continue. And it still cracks me up that there might be religious people that have a problem with the hashtag Save Lucifer. But then again, with the current status quo of the United States, who's to say? I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Word Balloon. And listen, we've got another great episode as well. A real 180 from our conversation with Joe. Michael Kupperman, who is a great graphic novelist. Tales to Thrizzle is one of the funniest books out there that Michael has been making over the years. Well, he has a very personal story, a graphic novel that he wrote about his father, Joel Kupperman. Now, you may not know him, but back in the 40s and into the 50s, Joel Kupperman was a huge media star. He was on the radio show called the Quiz Kids, and Quiz Kids was this incredible show of young children who apparently had very amazing abilities to answer what seemed to be very difficult questions, this incredible game show. It made Joel a national celebrity. He met the president. He met many celebrities over the years. And it's kind of a sad child star story. And Michael tells it in a very interesting way. And I knew about Joel Kupperman, being an old-time radio fan, and had no idea that this sweet, innocent show, Joel just wasn't having fun doing the show, to put it mildly. And his story, his father's story, is fascinating. And also, Michael's attempts to connect with his father are a big part of this graphic novel as well. So it's a fascinating story, and Michael really tells it in a beautiful way, both visually and storyline. Your heart's going to go out to this incredible father-son relationship. And the story of Joel Kupperman, this math genius that didn't want fame, just wanted to be a normal kid. And it's just a very interesting story that also dovetails into the quiz show television scandals of the 50s and early 60s. And Joel was a participant on those quiz shows in a different way. The $64,000 challenge was his show. And Michael tells the story behind that. And it's fascinating, honestly. I mean, I was interested as an old-time radio person. But I think anybody that looks at the highs and lows of celebrity will find this story very interesting, both the graphic novel and our conversation. So please join me for this conversation coming up with Michael Kupperberg on another episode that dropped this week on Word Balloon. Today's episode brought to you again by Comics Experience. Don't forget, Comics Experience is the world's most respected online comic book university, and now they're open for enrollment in all manner of comics illustration and storytelling courses.
they've got coming up. Introduction to Figure Drawing and Anatomy, that starts this week, followed by Character Design, Digital Painting, and the Introduction to Comic Book Art and Storytelling. Don't miss these amazing courses. Comics Experiences instructors are all working professionals in their field and trained instructors. The Online Comic University was founded by Andy Schmidt, the former Marvel and IDW editor and author of the upcoming book, The Comics Experience Guide to Writing Comics, which is specifically made to help those trying to break into the industry. You can look through Comics Experience's course offerings and enroll at the website, comicswithanSexperience.com. Click on the courses to get full details. Don't forget to sign up for their newsletter when you stop by the website and follow them online on their Facebook page and on Twitter at comic, singular, no S in this case, Comic Experience. Thanks again for listening to Word Balloon today. Also brought to you by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. Again, just a ton of Lucifer comics, both the Mike Carey run and also the Holly Black and the Richard Codrey run as well. Excellent books, great prices for them as well, as much as 42% to 50% off. Lucifer full story arcs at InStockTrades.com. A great way to satisfy your Lucifer fix while we're waiting for the fate of the television series. Again, if you haven't watched Lucifer before and you listen to this conversation, do yourself a favor. You got to binge the show. 3 seasons of just really funny, smart television. And I love it. And I'm always happy, as I said, to talk to Joe about anything he writes, because Graceland was a great show as well as he was running it. His run on White Collar speaks for itself as well. He's just a really, really smart television writer that I think knows how, in this very competitive time, to tell great stories. And the writing staff and everyone in the crew and cast of Lucifer just kicked ass. So raising the glass to the people behind Lucifer for an excellent 3 seasons. Here's hoping they get a chance for a 4th season. But in the meantime, you can enjoy more Lucifer stories at InStockTrades.com. Thanks again for listening to today's Word Balloon. I hope you check out the Michael Kupperman episode that's dropping as well today, in addition to other great episodes at WordBalloon.com. Again, we're starting our 14th year here at Word Balloon, and thank you for being along with me on this journey where I get to talk to these incredible people about the very fun things that they make and wonderful storytelling. Great episodes are coming up next week and beyond. So keep things posted here at WordBalloon.com for more great shows. And we might have a couple more salutes and looks back at some other exceptional Word Balloons that I've had the opportunity to do since May 10th of 2005. Can you believe it? That's when the Word Balloon started. And I'm not stopping anytime soon. Thanks a lot for listening today. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2018.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.